and welcome you to the CNC Auto Show. I'm Eric Clements here with Jamie Bridges.
Hey, good morning.
Jamie, we're on the road again.
We're on the road again.
Yeah, we need to play that Willie Nelson song.
Oh,
on
yeah.
the road again. We are here at Car Show. We're at the we're transmitting live here at the St. Teresa's Church for the Lost and the 50s show.
Yeah.
Car Show. And, of course, the show won't be starting for a little bit, but we already have some items. They're already cooking
yeah,
over there.
Yeah,
yeah,
they are.
Some food. There's a few cars sitting over there, Corvette and a little small car of some kind.
Oh, it's a little Triumph pedal car. Me
yeah,
and Thomas Walton.
Oh, is that what that
yeah.
is?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a few. They'll be sitting up, but they always have a nice crowd here
yeah.
at this show. And, of course, we're at this show. And if you cannot be here at this show, we can bring it to you. Because you can go to ccautoshow.com and watch that show live.
Yes.
And you will see us sitting here. Now, of course, you'll see a lot of people cooking back there in the background right now. But we have our trailer over here to the left with all our things inside there to make everything transmit. And we are looking for a good time because we love cars.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Now, if you can't be at this show and you and once you have watched this one, mm-hmm. or listen to it, wait for that. But then if you can't be at this car show, there's a car show going on in so many places around the country.
Yeah.
Especially beautiful weather, at least in this area right now. And most of the country's got some beautiful weather
yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
So I bet there's a car show nearby. So after this one is done, find one. Go to it. It might be a coffee and cars event, or it might just be a regular car show of some kind. And all of them's good.
Yeah.
You got Mustang ones. You got Lost in the 50s car shows.
All kinds of different themes for different charities.
Exactly. And that's another good
yes.
point. They normally raise good money for charities.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the one we went to not too long ago was the had to do with helping the veterans,
mm-hmm.
and they did great with that. We did the Touch a Truck not too long ago, and that helped a lot of people. And then I think one coming up in a couple of weeks will have to do with helping animals.
Yeah.
So they're all good. Okay, so let's crank this thing up and get it ready to go. And we you know what happened?
Huh.
Last week, we did not get an answer to our tech tip quiz.
No, we didn't. That was, it was kind of, I didn't even know what, my best guess was, didn't make any sense in my mind. So I didn't come with an answer either.
Well, we're going to throw it back out there. And also, I want to mention that during this show, we are taking phone calls. We had a little echo issue last week.
Yeah.
We don't have an echo issue this week. We will be able to take your phone calls. If you have a question about your car, your truck, your SUV, you give us a call, that number, 800-224-9090. And we're running a test run on this. If it works like it should, people should be able to go to ccautoshow.com, and there's a little space beside it that they should be able to post a question on there. We'll see how that works. Experimental stage.
Yes.
But if it works out well, we'll read your question online, and we will make that. Okay. Here's the tech tip quiz. You ready for this now? You go. Since you don't know the answer,
Jamie,
know the answer. What we will do is you will be eligible to win this tech tip quiz prize. All right, here we go. So try to answer it also.
Okay.
Okay, it's a true one. This is a true tech tip quiz. But the name and the names have not been changed to protect the innocent.
Yeah.
Because it was me. This really happened to me. Absolutely. It's true.
I think those are the best ones anyway.
Yeah, it is. I accidentally drained the fluid on Raymond's Nissan Maxima some years ago. Now, it was a while back when it happened.
Yeah.
And it made me sick as a dog. I mean, sick, sick. What fluid did I accidentally drain, and why did it make me sick as a dog? If you know the answer, give me a call, 800-224-9090. And also, if you have a question about your car, your truck, your SUV, we have the phones working now. We have multiple ways for you to be able to call in. Of course, one of the better ways that we like, because we get the chance to talk to you, is 800-224-9090. And we love talking to you, so that's our favorite. But you can post it, hopefully, online.
Yep.
And be able to ask that question on there. Okay, we will go over to the to talk just a little bit about cars of the 50s, because yep. I thought it might be fun, since we're doing a car show here at a Lost in the 50s event, to mention a few things about cars of the 50s. If you have an answer to our Tech Tip quiz, you can give us a call. And that Tech Tip quiz, again, first I'll mention it was a true Tech Tip quiz. I accidentally drained the fluid on Raymond's Nissan Maxima some years ago, and it made me sick, really sick. And what fluid did I accidentally drain, and why did it make me sick? If you know the answer to that, you could be a Tech Tip quiz winner. And we are talking about cars in the 50s. And mentioned before, 50s was a beautiful time for the design of the cars.
Well, yeah.
And there is no question that a lot of these new designs come about by engineers that were in World War II, that were getting out of the military, and they had been designing aircraft. And there's so many things that come along after that that streamlined the cars a huge amount. The tail fins, just the sloped hoods and the different things that went with that. Just beautiful, beautiful cars.
Well, it was all about style and aesthetics back then. There was, you know, nobody cared about, you know, fuel economy and wind resistance, aerodynamics. I mean, they just wanted something to look cool.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. That was their deciding factor. Hey, this looks cool. Let's do it.
Uh-huh. Something else come about during the 50s. I guess it would be more in the late 50s is when these designs first started coming out. And that was a beautiful time for the automotive industry. Also, the muscle car era.
Yes. Yeah.
They had powerful engines and sleek designs, and they were going after the younger drivers, the younger generation that wanted to go fast. And you had some of the classic models started back then, like the Chevrolet Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the Ford Thunderbird, and the Dodge Chargers were born during these. And then they were setting the stage in the 50s for what would be known as a beautiful time, which was in the 60s for muscle cars.
Yeah, for muscle cars. And then we rolled on, 15, 20 years, and not so much anymore.
There's so many beautiful things come along for there. Now, along with that, another big thing that come along, another great thing that come along at about that time had to do with some safety features. Along with the cars going faster, they were more dangerous. And of course, some of the things that come along features that had to do with safety, of course, one of the main ones was seatbelts.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, I remember riding around and my grandmother had a Mercury Comet wagon. I think it was mid-60s, but that thing didn't have seatbelts then either.
It didn't.
Oh, out of the mid-60s, it didn't.
Wow.
I wouldn't ride around in the mid-60s in the Comet.
And if you remember back in the early days, cars didn't have padded dashes. They were just metal.
It was metal, yeah, because she had magnets stuck all over it, too.
And then, of course, you have an accident. Boom. It was
yeah, there goes all
many
your
times
teeth.
Terrible. And then, of course, along with that, the suspension systems just started doing better and better. And they built independent suspension, and some cars with coil springs, some cars with leaf springs, but either way, they handled much better, and that's one of the reasons that the better suspension system come along was for safety. These cars were going faster than ever before, but then you start rounding a corner or under certain circumstances, they would just go out of control.
Well, yeah, even with braking, your suspension plays a huge deal into braking.
Mm-hmm.
So besides ride comfort, the safety aspect. I mean, we've come a long way in 100 years.
Oh, so far. It is kind of amazing. I had something here as far as on the as far as on those vehicles we were talking, well, it had to do with the power steering system. And of course, one of the first cars to have the power steering system, it was invented as early as 1876.
Really? I didn't
know
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Many, many years ago, but it wasn't until 1951 that they actually, made it, not standard equipment, but an option on a vehicle. And that was on the Chrysler Imperial. And that was in 1951. But think about where we're at now. We actually have electronic steering, electric steering, and it's because of the electric steering that we're able to have the lane assist.
Yeah.
You start to go off the road, and it'll kind of gradually pull you back on the road. So all of these options, it's good to know the history of vehicles on how a lot of these systems started, what they were doing, and of course, lane assistant and lane assist and all the other ADAS systems that you have that all makes a huge difference. Oh, and I'll mention this also. We will be having an event that'll be coming up. That'll be this coming week.
Yeah.
And that will be at Blue Automotive, and it will be an event where we will talk. A large amount having to do with the ADAS system.
Yeah.
Assisted driving systems.
Yeah. And
for the vehicle.
And anytime anything new comes out, and this system is tremendously helpful. Anytime anything new comes out, the more you can learn and educate yourself about that system, the better off you'll be. That way, if something does happen and you take your car in for repair, you're not, thinking somebody's taking advantage of you.
People's going to be in for some big surprises some of the things that need to be done on these vehicles as you're in case of an accident, the things that need to be done and the things that should be done, and that's all different things that we'll be talking about, and we'll be showing a little bit of an internal view of what goes on in the automotive industry. This will be kind of rare for the CNC Auto Show, because usually we talk about things for the consumer as far as what the consumers see, but we're going to go inside the automotive industry just a little bit. We will be talking with people that have to do with that makes the equipment available to do some of the things that we do. We'll even be talking about some of the things that need to be worked out in the automotive industry as far as the things of how the systems are calibrated and just a lot of things. So next week's going to be a really interesting show also. Mm-hmm. And it's going, it's going to pertain a heck of a lot to the ADAS system.
Yeah, no, it's the more you know, the better, the easier life is.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to this show because, with it being so new, I'm not as, educated on it as these technicians are either.
Uh-huh. Well, it encompasses so much.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you have anything from your lane departure system and you have your blind spot indicators, your laser cruise or smart cruise or blue cruise or whatever. There's different names for it, but what it amounts to is it makes it to where you can just cruise without having it, and it'll watch the cars in front of you, and it takes a lot of the work out of the driving.
Yeah.
And it's there's just a lot of things that's encompassed in that system, but in effect it uses cameras and LIDAR, radar, sonar. It uses all of these things to be able to know exactly what the vehicle is doing.
Well, if you look at the progression from the 51 Imperial and its, power steering that they used then to the electronic steering that we have now, with the way ADAS is coming up and coming right now, imagine where we'll be in 10 mm-hmm. years. We won't have to physically drive anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Now, take a guess on the electric window. When do you think it was designed?
The power window motor?
Yeah, the electric window.
I don't know. I don't know. I had early 90s cars that still had manual crank windows. Yeah.
It was a Chrysler also.
Was
and,
it?
And you gotta think that a lot of these options that we see on vehicles now, You may see them on a regular basis, but they started with a very low production level.
Yeah.
Usually on the higher end cars.
So it
was a 1951 Chrysler, though.
Oh, they Chrysler just was knocking them out of the park in the early 50s, weren't they?
Yep, and that was in 1951, and it led to a lot of other systems. It wasn't a long period of time before they started using them on GM, Ford, Chevrolets. Most of that happened in about 1954.
Huh. Well, you know what? It's really nice to have power windows.
Oh, it's hard to go without power windows now.
I don't miss having to reach all the way across the car and crank the passenger window down.
No, I've had one car in the last 10 years that had manual windows, and I said I got a really good deal on it. It was a F-150 truck, and I said, wow, this is a great deal. I could put up with manual windows, but no,
you got spoiled.
I will never do that again.
You know, it's,
I didn't like that at all.
It's funny how that hand motion of rolling the window down, you know, hung on for roll your window down. Nobody pulls up next to you and you know, pushes a button in the air to get you to roll your window down. It's the crank handle thing.
Oh, Jamie said we have a phone call. So Jamie, let's bring the caller on.
There we go.
And welcome to the CNC Auto Show. And what can we help you with today?
Listen, guys, this is Ron in Appleton. I was just wanting to express my disgust with the modern technology going into automobiles.
Okay, we'll do that.
You know, in the 50s and that era, and even prior to that, there were so few car companies. Everyone was unique in what they produced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a hard time distinguishing one model from the next as they're going down the road, whether it be a Mercedes or a Kia. They all look the same. Not to mention the fact that I think the manufacturers have a religion instead of spending big money on designers, include the surface carnival manufacturing companies to take over that task. They go right down the road looking like a carnival ride. I talked the other night with the lights again. There was 3 sets of headlights on this truck. One about 5 foot off the ground, and another one mid-lane, and the other one down at the bottom. The reason is beyond me why they have to look like carnival rides to be functional.
Uh-huh.
Another issue is that these things are accomplices in crime already.
Uh-huh.
There was a lady, I think it was in Arizona, that was driving, and 2 criminals were working the area. One steps out in front of her. The automatic braking avoidance system stops the car. The other criminal runs behind the car and snatches her out and steals the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you carry it too far as a point that you do, that you carry all this electronic wonderland so far that they beyond the function of the car that it was designed to do.
Uh-huh.
And then on top of that, you have the privilege of paying 40, 50, 60 for trucks.
That's a deal if you get a new one for that.
Yeah.
Yes, you are absolutely right.
Ridiculous.
As far as a lot of things going on, there is a huge amount of technology. There's always a fine line on, well, really, you'd have to say you really can't put a price on safety.
No.
And that's what so much a large amount of it is there for, is to safety. Like you mentioned, automatic braking. But there's always things that can happen that can make that automatic braking something
idea.
That
yeah.
can be used in a bad way, just like almost anything else. Ron, I'm going to mention something. Here's something that a lot of people are doing that they found out that a lot of criminals are doing now. Okay, someone goes out, and let's say it's a busy shopping center, and someone gets out of their car, and they hit the lock button on the car. and then they walk in the store. Well, people have, they make a jammer to where you can jam that signal to where that when that person hit that button and they thought they were locking their car didn't really lock.
Yeah.
And so then they can go over to an unlocked car, get whatever they want out, and boom, be able to go. So, of course, that's one of the things I wanted to mention today was people should make sure when they're getting out of the car that they actually see the locks lock when they get out or see the lights flash or something to let you know that you got the signal. And that's a good tip there about the part on automatic braking. I mean, but I'm not sure what you would do about that one, Ron.
No, just keep your doors locked.
Yeah, either way, if somebody's in front of you, you're probably going to try your best to put on brakes anyway.
Especially if it's a pedestrian.
Yeah, even if it wasn't automatic, you'd try to find a way to do that.
Here's the problem, and here's the evil in what you're thinking about safety at all costs.
Uh-huh.
When you go down that rabbit hole, safety at all costs, you also dominize the American public in driving. They become more reliable on this new technology.
Uh-huh.
It's just like these morons that are going 70 miles an hour down the interstate asleep at the wheel because their autopilot's gone.
Yeah.
You create a dumbification of American drivers by adding all this subterfuge on top of all this. That's why I say safety. Yeah, I'm all for safety. Safety's a great, wonderful thing, but these manufacturers have carried it so far that it's beyond the pale and ridiculous. That's just my disgust, and it helped me vent this morning. So
that's exactly why that's exactly why we are so glad you called, because we wanted you to feel better this morning. that's what we're here for, to help.
Yeah.
Now you can just rest. Your heart rate can go down, and you'll feel much better.
That's it. You can give me a 68 fastback Mustang any day. If you can't get aroused by that, you don't have a heart. You look at a 55 Thunderbird or a Corvette. If you can't get aroused just by the sheer look of it and the feel of it, then you're not alive. You're dead.
Yeah. I want one of those, but
guys, I enjoy your
I love that technology, though. I love both.
Oh, yeah. All righty, guys, y'all.
Thank you. And I do hope you're feeling better now.
Yeah.
All right. The number to call, 800-224-9090. You can call and ask a question, or if you just want to vent just a little bit, give us a call. And there's so many things that I could vent about that would make me feel so much better. Park the little bitty cars in the front of the parking lot and make me think that I got a spot there.
Almost 50 years. And when you're ready, they're ready to help you have a little green box moment. My friends at Windsor have helped me celebrate.
All right, we will be back with more at the CNC Auto Show.
Engagement, anniversary.
We have some beautiful cars starting to come. We have some like 58 Chevrolets. We have some Impalas out there. We have some MG Midgets out there. Just a lot of really nice cars that are here at the Back to the 50s Car Show. But also, if you're listening to this, no matter what part of the country you're in, there's probably a car show near you. So do a search, find a car show that might be right for you, and go join it and have fun. It's good family entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's my son sitting beside me. That's get him out the house and do something together.
Yeah, I think that. And you see so many. And plus, you get to talk about the history of the cars. Okay, we're ready for a email that we received. I received this from James. Aaron, I live in Columbia, South Carolina, and plan to drive to Montana in early December for a hunting trip. I and three of my high school buddies will be going in my 2020 Ford F-350 truck, which has a 6.7 Power Stroke V8 turbo diesel. do I need to do anything special? And Jamie, that's almost in your line. I'm gonna add one. I'm gonna go ahead and mention one thing in my my part is to get a good inspection. Of course, no doubt about that. A good winter inspection, close attention, batteries, fluids, tires, glow plugs. But one thing I want to it's good to think about a block heater.
Yes.
Well, get a block heater. I'd go and invest in one. Would you? Would you say that's a good move?
Yes.
Montana's
with the cold.
Very cold. Yeah, very cold. And another item that you have to pay special attention to when you working with a diesel is when the temperature drops to a certain level, you want to do something with the fuel because it when it gets really cold, it will turn to gel. And I recommend Hot Shot Secret EDT Plus Winter Defense Diesel Fuel Additive. And you pretty much, you pour it in the diesel fuel, and it keeps it from turning to gel on those really cold temperatures.
Yeah, yeah, just make sure you read the instructions on the bottle, you know, yeah. Of course, and follow. It works better when you use it like it's supposed to be used.
I've got one of these for the coming year, just in case I do need it. It don't get that necessarily that cold here. But if I do drive somewhere really cold, I've already got my bottle there. And it's got a little thing to where you pour. It's the bottle is made in a way to where you can turn it upside down, and it'll fill up a little part of the container. And then that's the amount that you would put in with a fill-up.
Oh, well, that's always convenient in business itself.
Yeah, it pretty much does everything for you. But that is a big thing to remember. Any other tips? We got batteries. Winter inspection.
Well, as always, when you're going on a trip in cold weather, you know, things happen. Make sure you have extra food, snacks, and drinks, water or something, blankets and things in your vehicle just in case some kind of accident happens. You get stuck somewhere and you can't get out and you have to
That's a good tip for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
With wintertime coming up, go ahead and build yourself a little kit. Put a few things in there, maybe a bottle of water, add some, like, you mentioned a few little snacks. Another good winter tip that people should think about is to keep plenty of fuel in their car because, of course, it's nighttime. Here's a scenario that can happen. You're looking for somebody's house. You back forward, you back up, and because it's dark, your tire gets stuck in a ditch. It's ice cold, and your gas gauge on E. So
yeah.
You have to cut your car off because you don't want to use up all the fuel. So it's a good idea to keep plenty of fuel in your car. That way, if you do run into an emergency, you can have plenty of gas to continue to run your heat until help arrives.
Yeah, yeah.
And an extra cell phone charger inside your car is not a bad idea.
You know, those sound like good hurricane tips, too.
Yeah.
We found that out the hard way, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. So. Go ahead and think about what if, and just pack your car full of a few little things in there that you can make sure that you're prepared in case something comes up.
Yeah.
Another thing that I like that I think is kind of huge, the little jumper boxes that many years ago, the jumper boxes used to be real big and heavy.
Yeah, big cumbersome things. Yeah.
Yeah, and we still have those at work if a battery goes dead on a larger vehicle. A lot of times we have them, but it is amazing how much energy those little bitty ones can have stored
like
up.
The NOCO branded ones, I mean, these things are smaller than a brick, and I mean, for what they do, they're relatively light as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, you can get them with a flashlight on them too, and you can charge your phone back off of them as well as jump off your vehicle. So.
Yeah, and they stay charged for a pretty long length of time. You can plug one in. So if you're planning on making a trip somewhere, it's not a bad idea to have one of those and just keep it charged up. And then that way, if for some reason you do get up, let's say you're in the mountains and you walk out early one morning and start to go somewhere and boom, your battery's dead, you can go into your trunk, get one of those little jumper boxes. A very small item, don't take up much space. You can hook it up to your battery or to your post that you would jump it with, and boom, you're ready to roll.
Yeah, yeah. No, don't ever leave yourself in a bad position if you can help. Mm-hmm. Help.
Yeah.
It. Always
well,
try
just
to
be prepared.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing. And being prepared One of the things that you wanna do when you come out here, be prepared to eat because they got
it's starting to smell.
They
good,
have
isn't it?
They started cooking early out here, and oh, we got more cars pulling in.
Oh
another,
my gosh, the parking lot filled up behind me.
Another 58 Chevrolet has pulled in. Yeah, it's starting to fill up back there behind us. So more and more cars. I look forward to once the radio show parts over, or sometimes during the break, I'll run out there and look at some of the cars and see what's going on with some of them.
Yeah, so. No, this is going to be a great show, just judging by what's here already. It's going to be a big event.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a great show. Another thing that we'll probably do a show on this part, but I think it's getting the time of year because of some holidays coming up and different things going on. We want to start thinking a lot about keeping a car secure. Of course, we want to do that anytime.
Yeah,
probably mentioning it more because you're starting to have more darkness than you have before. And of course, with darkness comes, there's sometimes that can leave opportunities for crime,
mischief.
So you just want to be real careful. If you let's say you're out shopping or doing something. And it's dark outside, look around your surroundings. Of course, always try to park in a lighted area, but look around your surroundings, make sure everything looks pretty safe when you walk out there. When you hit your button, kind of look inside your car before you get inside, just to make sure everything's good there. And keep all of your valuables, keep anything that's valuable in your car out of sight in there. Either keep it in the trunk, keep something in the hatchback, keep it covered up if you have it there. So all of those things can make a big difference. All right. Now, we talked about some of the things that were on the cars back in the 50s, and we talked a little bit about the 60s. What's some of the technology that's going on some of the later model cars now? And of course, one of the things has to do with facial recognition and voice recognition.
Huh.
And this is all coming, and as a matter of fact, it's on some vehicles now, but just not in a large production. Let's say you walk up to your vehicle. The vehicle recognizes you. It knows it's you. Either by voice, you can say, open the door, and the door will open. Or it knows that you, but either way, when you get in, if it knows that you're one of the normal usual drivers, it may open that door automatically and then adjust the seat just for you. It'll set the interior temperature just for you and then give you the morning news or whatever you want to listen to.
Well, that's neat and creepy at the same time.
Mm-hmm. and also it will be able to order your coffee and pay for it.
Oh, my gosh.
And all you do is go by and pick it up.
You know, I was reading this article the other day, and it was, I want to say it was Ford, I might be wrong, was putting advertisements on your infotainment screen, and they patented this where it would, based on where you were and your usual driving habits and what you went past every day, it was going to recommend, you know, this hamburger place or this coffee shop or... It's just there needs to be some kind of line with the privacy in vehicles.
Oh, wow. Look at that. We're about out of time on this first hour. We'll be shutting this hour down, but don't move because we'll have another hour to come. All right. Thomas is going to put a headset on because he went walking around just a little bit. Hey, Thomas, what did you think about the cars that you looked at over there?
They're pretty neat.
What was your favorite one over there so far?
I do not know.
Yeah. Well, here's one good thing. You can bring kids. You can bring kids over to see these. Now, of course, Tom's not a kid anymore. He's a young man now.
Yeah.
But it's great for people like Thomas to be able to see these other cars and see a little bit of the past automotive history. And it kind of gives you some ideas of where cars come from, how we've progressed and what we've done. And not to mention when you really start thinking about all the different systems that these cars have.
Yeah.
You didn't wake up one morning and all of a sudden have this this smart cruise system on your car or your lane change departures. They started somewhere. And, of course, they started with things like, hey, we're having a lot of accidents and people's getting hurt really bad. Let's come out with a padded dash. Let's come out with a seatbelt. Let's hey, people would really enjoy it if this thing had cruise control. So you get cruise control.
We were standing over there, and this guy comes by in an old Lincoln Continental, and the guy directing traffic at the car show says,
struggling to steer.
Yeah, hey, back it in over here. And this guy's over here just, putting all his weight in the steering wheel, trying to turn the thing to back up. And that's why we have power steering now.
Yeah.
He made it. Good job. Good job. But, boy, yeah. He was fighting that thing to get the wheels to turn.
And see, if Thomas didn't see things like that, he would never know, hey, cars at one time didn't have power steering. Or cars at one time didn't have this electric window that you actually roll down. So all things are good to see. And you can go to facebook.com/CC Auto Show. You can see it live. You can also go to ccautoshow.com, and there's a little box up there. You can listen to the show live up there at ccautoshow.com and ask a question right there if you decide to it. So. And we're working on this ccautoshow.com. As a matter of fact, Gary from Kingdom Web Pros is over there making some adjustments right now because we're starting to fine-tune it just a little bit. We plan on that website being the go-to place for car information. And, of course, one of the things, if you're looking for a car show, we'll have a place where you can see where a car show might be near you. And if you're looking for information about your car, it will be there. So it's in the early stages, but he is working on it and making things happen, so we look forward to that. Okay, let's talk about cars.
The cars without the powered windows, you can take you could take the handles off that you roll them up with and use a drill.
Just hook a drill up to it. Well, it's amazing how many inventions come out from things like that. I mean, there's always a chance that somebody might have said that. They said, oh, I don't want to have to move that, so I'm going to use a drill to do it, or different reasons. Now, I doubt that's the case on that, but you are right. I mean, ideas just come to people and they use it. So.
Well, they say that lazy people are the best inventors because they'll figure out the workarounds for things.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't lay the tech tip quiz back out there.
Oh, yeah.
So we do need to do that. I'm going to put that back out on the table. This true story, the names have not been changed because it's me. Absolutely true. I accidentally drained the fluid on Raymond's Nissan Maxima some years ago. It made me very, very sick. What fluid did I accidentally drain, and why did it make me sick? If somebody knows the answer to that, they can give us a call. Again, that's 800-224-9090. All right, now, some of the things that happened during the 50s. People began to travel. People began to travel, and the cars become just a symbol of that freedom and independence that they had. They were able to actually live much further from their work.
Yeah.
And be able to travel back and forth. They were able to move out to the suburbs more and do different things. So the cars gave people a lot of freedom. And, of course, another thing that it did many years back, and I'm not sure if you've been to one, Jamie, I just about bet Thomas probably has not been to one, but that's a drive-in theater.
Yeah, no, we have you. Thomas, have you gone to the drive-in theater or no?
Maybe not.
I don't remember if I've taken him to one or not. But they're really
there's
neat.
Not that many left.
No,
most drive-in, but also drive-in diners.
I've been to a drive-in theater. I went to one with my grandma and my grandpa
in the mountains.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they're vehicles in the 50s. They brought all this. They brought it to where you could go to a drive-in and just pull your car in and watch a movie on a great big screen as you were sitting in your car.
Yeah.
And I'm explaining that here, but there's a lot of people that have no idea what I'm talking about when I say a drive-in theater. So all of these things were brought about by the cars, and a lot of them were brought about by cars in the 50s and the 60s, and made things like that very popular. But the big thing is it did bring along the freedom, and that's the big thing. All right. So one of the things that's changed a lot and continues to change on vehicles since the 50s is the battery itself.
Oh yeah, battery technologies. Well, it's like everything else has grown by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, and there was a time car batteries were 6 volts.
Yeah.
And then they grew to 12 volts. Now one of the big things that batteries have continued to improve, and that is now the AGM battery.
Yeah, the AGM is absorbed glass mat is what that means.
Yes. And they last longer. They hold their charge longer.
Their vibration resistant.
If they're idle.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons that so many times if we have a customer that has like a high-end car.
Yes.
With a lot of accessories on it, those vehicles, in order to keep the memory alive on all of those items, they pull a little bit off of the battery.
Yeah.
And a regular standard battery will go dead in a short period of time with those. And by short period of time, I'm talking about if it's not driven very much for say a week or a week and a half, 2 weeks, many times that battery can just go completely dead and then go bad.
Yeah.
Because when a battery's dead, it sulfates and it don't take very long for it to go bad. So with the AGM batteries, they hold that charge much, much longer. And so if we have a customer with a high-end car, I normally recommend to them, hey, let's go ahead and put an AGM battery in there. Now, many cars are just coming standard with AGM batteries now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, they don't leak. They're maintenance-free. I mean, they're just a superior battery technology versus the lead acid, the wet cell batteries that we're used to.
Mm-hmm. And there's a great website that people can go to if they want to learn more about batteries. They can go to autobatteries.com. And that's by Clarios. That website's powered by Clarios, which makes a huge, huge number of the AGM, I would say a large percentage of the AGM batteries in the world.
Oh, yeah. Clarios is huge into battery technology.
Yeah. So that's autobatteries.com. 2017 Hyundai Santa Fe Sport. It's making a noise similar to an airplane flying low over my head. I have a tendency to duck. It seems especially loud when I'm coasting at a higher speed downhill. Any ideas on where this could be coming from? Now, my thought process is that could be a wheel bearing.
Yeah, either that or, I mean, if you just had tires put on recently and you're just not used to the sound of the new tires, it could
be
that as well.
Or cupping tires.
Yeah.
But one way that I can tell, that I normally check to see if it is a wheel bearing, is if you're riding and you're hearing that airplane noise, like the airplane's getting ready to land on your car, and you move the wheel just a little to the left or a little to the right, and the noise either gets louder or goes away, or at least changes tones as you move this wheel back and forth, that pretty much lets you know that you do have a wheel bearing. Now, I've been doing this a long, long time, and I have never been able to completely tell which side it's coming from, because you will listen to that noise and you will swear it's coming from the left side, but then you'll get underneath the car and run the test with the stethoscopes and the sound listening devices and find out it's coming from the other side.
Yeah.
So don't let that tell you which side it's coming from, but it will let you know that it is a wheel bearing. So what was her name? Trisha?
Yeah, Trisha in Edgefield.
Trisha. Yeah. She's most likely got a wheel bearing. I'd recommend going by a shop that she works with, a shop that she trusts, and just say, hey, would you mind riding around the block with me, listening to this noise? And if they agree that it's a wheel bearing, they'll probably give you whatever charges it might be to diagnose the problem, and then they'll put it on the rack, and then they'll use a listening device to determine which side it is, confirm it's a bearing, and then boom, they're you'll be back. They'll get you an estimate together and get you squared away. You'll be back on the road.
Yep.
So, great question. And if anyone has a question, you can go to ccautoshow.com, press a little chat button, and we will chat with you just a little bit, find out what your question is, and we will answer that question on air. And we are still talking about, there's something else that I want to talk about, because I'm in a safety mood today on trying to make things real safe. Another thing that people have run into, of course, we talked a little earlier about they have blocking devices for your key fob now, to where you
yeah.
think you're locking your car and you walk off and kind of find out the car's not locked. Well, another thing that has been done is they can send a signal to your vehicle making you think that your tire pressure is low. It'll make your TPMS light come on the dash and blink, and you'll think you got low tire pressure. And they will do that in order to get a person to pull over.
Huh, I hadn't heard that one.
Yes,
that is,
and then when they stop, you stop to get out to look to see what's wrong with your tire, and then they either rob you or hijack your car.
Oh, but obviously if your TPMS light comes on, you want to check it, not ride around on a half flat tire if that is the case, but just be aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if that comes on, if any way possible, pull over into a well-lit area.
Yeah.
Find somewhere that's safe, a shopping center or something with a lot of lights around. Don't just pull over to the side of the road just anywhere. Maybe a service station, and that's preferable if you can find a station that or a shop that you can pull into, so that way if you do have low air, you can either have the tire repaired or have the air pressure replaced in there. So that is a good thing to do. All right, so we give it all these things. All right, you ready for another email?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, here we go. And this question is from Justin. Justin has a 2017 Equinox. The check engine light came on. I have my own code reader. It shows a code 0128. It runs okay, but my fuel mileage is down. And let's see here. 0228 is a coolant temp sensor.
Yeah, 128 coolant temp sensor.
We're going to see a lot of this in the coming months, Jamie, because every year we get a lot of this type question. And that's the vehicle's running cooler than it should run. And high probability it's either going to be low coolant or bad thermostat. So
yeah.
I would recommend checking the coolant level. If that's good, if temperature don't get up what it should be, replace thermostat. Of course, you know I love the Motorrad thermostat, and I love peak coolant. So that's the route. Okay, we got another?
We have a phone call, and we're almost out of time.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll pull over for a second, and then when we come back on, we'll go straight to the call.
Okay. All right. Hey, good morning.
Good morning. You know, a lot of the 50s cars took on that space age look kind of thing, but with all the technology that we have today, why can't they put something on a car that will turn your radio off and make your lights flash when an ambulance or a fire truck or something's coming up behind you so you can get out of the way?
You know what? That makes a lot of sense, because if you got all your windows rolled up and your radio on, it's hard to hear them sometimes, or, you know, even tell which direction
yeah.
they're coming when from.
Yeah, it's really hard to hear. Yeah. I'm surprised somebody hasn't invented that yet.
Well, you know, that brings brings one thing up that I was going to mention today also, and it's one of the large things that's coming out with vehicles now is V2X. And at first they were talking about V2V, which a vehicle talking to another vehicle. Let's say that you're coming up to a red light and there's another car that's not stopping or you come to a green light and you're starting to go through and another car is not stopping, it will stop your car if that car starts to go through that light, or stop the one that was getting ready to run it. And I guess what I'm saying is the two cars will be talking to each other. But another big thing coming is V2X, which is vehicle to everything. It's communication that allow vehicles to interact with other cars and infrastructure and pedestrians. Of course, if it sees a pedestrian, it will stop if it's in the way. And if it's, let's say you're going down the road and your car thinks you're hungry, it might say, hey, we have hamburgers right ahead. There's a fast food place. Would you like this?
Well, that's all I need.
So, and billboards, your vehicle will be riding down the road, and you know we have the electronic billboards. It might know that it heard you talking the other day about buying a generator for your house. That billboard might flash a generator sign up on the electronic billboard.
Oh,
so,
you know, that's a step too far. Yeah. I'm on board with the fire truck and the ambulance thing, but read me billboards. I can do without all that crap.
Aaron, I'm sorry you got to change something the other day, but I ain't going to try to answer it.
Uh-huh. Oh, come on. Give us one shot on it. Give it a try. You want me to read it for you?
Nobody else has tried it.
Yeah, go ahead and give it a try. Let me read it real quick. Okay, it's mine. It happened to me. I accidentally drained the fluid on Raymond's Nissan Maxima some years ago. It made me very sick. I mean, very sick. What fluid did I accidentally drain, and why did it make me sick?
I'm going to say the radiator fluid because of the propylene glycol in it.
No, that wasn't it. But what's something else that sometimes some people have a fluid that sits in a cup holder?
It was sweet. What
the windshield washer fluid?
It was what now?
The windshield washer fluid?
No, it wasn't windshield washer fluid. It's some people have, it's not smoking that they do, but they do some other things.
In a cup holder.
Oh, they
What now?
They're vaping.
Think that Jamie. Now I told Jamie that she can answer this one, and she will win if she gets it. And I think she's.
Please step in, Jamie.
I think she knows it.
Okay, so my original guess would have been an actual car-related fluid, and it would have been probably burnt gear oil, because the smell of that always turns my stomach. But now you're talking about cup holders, and he's spitting his tobacco juice into a cup or bottle or something, and you accidentally knocked it over.
Oh, he's spitting tobacco juice in it.
Hold on. Let's see what the judges say on that one.
Thank you.
Oh, Jamie is the winner of the Tech Tip Quiz. Congratulations, Jamie. And I don't know how many years ago this was. It was many years ago. And I hope Raymond's not listening. But it was something that I can't ever get out of my mind. It is etched in my mind. It's like a tattoo on my mind. And it won't go anywhere.
Oh,
I was asked to test drive Raymond's Nissan Maxima. And a lot of times I have a little cup of coffee. It was kind of a cool day. I remember that. And I thought it was my coffee cup down there. So I reached down and I take a big swig of the thing. And it was still.
That's all we need to know.
And I didn't know that Raymond was a tobacco chewer. And it was his cup.
Oh, my God.
And I stopped. Yeah. I put it in park. I jumped out. I was spitting everywhere. And then finally I started throwing up. I mean, it was bad. It was real bad. And that was so many years ago. But I can, you know, to this day, I cannot drink coffee from a styrofoam cup. I'll never do that again.
It's scarred for life.
It was so. Oh, look who we got. Come here, buddy. Come here. Look at the camera. Let's see what we got here. All right. Fantastic.
I just had a wild dinosaur roam up behind us.
Look at that. All right. Now, that's amazing. We got the dinosaur going out there. Hey, listen, we appreciate it. And And Jamie snatched the bone right away from you. She snatched.
That's fine.
You had that tech tip quiz working on it, and she just, boom, snatched it right away from you.
I think that's probably one of the grosser.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the call. And Jamie, it looks like you've been getting a multicolored water bottle.
All right.
That's going to change colors at certain times.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Okay, the number to call is 800-224-9090. If you got a question about your car, you can also go to ccautoshow.com, and there's a little box down there you can click. Ask your question that way, and we will be there ready to get it. I'm going to mention something that I think is very important that a lot of people really don't think about that much, and that's their fluid levels.
Yeah.
They think that if it's just in the zone somewhere between the minimum and the maximum, that everything's fine. But some of these fluids, for instance, transmission fluid is there for a couple of reasons. It lubricates the transmission, but it also is something that transfers heat.
Yeah.
And if the transmission fluid is on the low mark and or it's in the safe zone, but it's at the lower part of the safe zone, that means it's got less fluid there to absorb heat.
Yes.
So you're not going to do as well lubricate or keeping the transmission cool if you don't bring it up to where it's supposed to be, but be careful not to overfill it.
Yeah, because then you got a whole new set of problems.
Exactly. And the same thing with coolant. If it's low, you're safe, but go ahead and top it on off to where it's more at the maximum part.
Yeah.
And again, not overfilled. It won't cause damage if it's overfilled. Brake fluid, not over, not under. If it's at the low, it can cause your light to come on if it gets even at the minimum. So make sure on your brake fluid that it's in the zone, but be careful not to go past that max mark on brake fluid, because when brake fluid gets hot, it expands. When it expands, if it don't have a place to go in the reservoir, then it'll apply brake pressure. It'll push the pistons out a little bit and make the brakes get hot and locked down. We talked a little bit about some of the things that the vehicles will be doing. Some are doing it now, but it'll be more widespread in the future. To where they'll be talking to different things. Your vehicle will be talking to even digital signs. It'll be letting you know where places to eat might be ahead. If you were talking in your car at one time about purchasing something, it will let you know that that's ahead. So a lot of these things are coming. But another thing that it will, your car will be offering you. Now, of course, it's if you purchase a car with everything on it, it will cost X amount of dollars. But they may look at that. They may have this thing set up in the future, or they do have it set up in the future. It just hadn't been accepted that well so far. To where, let's say that it's cold outside.
Yeah.
It may have a little message that will come up, or someone tell you that I can turn on heated seats for only $9.99 a month. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Your car trying to sell you things.
Upsell on something, you know, that you already bought. I mean, I think if you buy a car and it has these features in it, that you should automatically have access to those features because you bought the car. I'm not on board with this heated seat subscription and subscription for this, that, or the other. I mean, it just, when you buy something, it should be yours. You know, that's the way I look at it. But
well, it seems kind of wrong, because I mean, if they can give it to you with the push of a button, then why would they hold that back? Oh, that is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You see the engine
Nova
in that thing?
Yeah.
A little Nova. I don't know. Look at the back tires on that thing. Wow.
Tires on the back of it.
It looks like a 64 Nova. 396 and got some very, very wide tires on the back. Beautiful vehicle. But anyway, it just seems like it's almost like being mean, not going ahead and pushing the button and giving you the heated seats. If
But, you know, that's just going to lead into people being figuring out ways to backdoor into the software for these vehicles, and they're going to unlock them on their own. I mean, it's just, you know, it's.
Oh, you're saying you can buy a little app and it will.
Yeah, like jailbreak it, like you can do with some other things. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always a way around. You know, it just really what it is how long does it take somebody to figure out how to get around.
Well, you know,
program.
A person can do a huge, gather a lot of information about you, your car, where you go, how fast you drive, by simply sticking a little plug into your OBD2 port.
Yeah.
And they can know a lot about you. And so I'm not sure if anybody looked, but there has been people that looked and wondered why something is stuck on their OBD port, and they wasn't sure what it was.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, your cars will tell on you. I mean, my work truck does automatic software updates overnight because it knows I'm not sleeping overnight.
Gary, we got a question. Come on over here, Gary. Sit down and put the headset on.
Oh, I got to get used to the automatic app thing.
We got Gary Cottle here. He is with Kingdom Web Pros, and he is the webmaster, and Kingdom Web Pros is actually the company that's doing the site. Great company. If you're looking for somewhere to do a website for you, they are the place to go. Great professional business websites. Gary, mentioned that you're setting it up to where people can post a question.
Yes, sir.
Right next to our video. And right now, the audio part of it works. If they push a button above the box, they can listen to the show.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, you have a question that come in.
Yeah, I have a question from James from Edgefield. He says, I have a 2017 Chevy Silverado with 117,000 miles. It had 57,000 when I purchased it. Would you recommend have the fluid exchange on the transmission with that many miles?
Yes. You mentioned total is 117,000 miles on it now.
That is correct.
Yeah, I would. Now, there was a time that I might not have many years ago when people would say it's time for a transmission service. They would recommend you removing the transmission pan, putting a new filter in there, and then putting the pan back up and then pouring 5 quarts of fluid back in. Well, the transmission system holds 12 to 14 quarts. So what you were doing is you were taking 5 quarts out of old fluid, putting the pan back up, pouring 5 quarts of new fluid on top of another 7 or 8 quarts of old fluid that was mixing together. It's like washing dishes with dirty dishwater.
I got you.
So bad move. Now, the modern way to do it is to leave the pan on there, not touch the filter. Matter of fact, some cars don't even have filters anymore. They just have screens. And some do, like in Jamie's world, they have external filters if they have it. But you don't remove the pan. You don't remove the filter. You got to have a piece of machine that, as the transmission is pumping its old fluid out toward the front, toward the cooler of the thing, it pushes the old fluid out, goes under a piston, and lets new fluid go in to take its place. So you're replacing 100% of the transmission fluid. And no, you don't have any problems doing that. And yes, I would recommend doing it.
Excellent.
So you're removing the contaminated or the broken down fluid. There's really not anything floating around very much in transmission fluid. It's a sealed system.
And heat is what makes the difference on transmission fluid on how long it lasts. You take a car that's pulling a trailer or something, and I would probably be recommending replacing the transmission fluid every 20,000 miles. You take a vehicle that's driven very light duty, not going up a lot of hills, not terrible weather, you could get 70 or 80,000. But what I would recommend as a general rule, somewhere between 30 and 50,000 miles on most vehicles. Some European cars may ask or may recommend longer, but somewhere around 30, 50,000 miles, I recommend doing it. But no, we've done a ton of vehicles at 100, 110, 120, 150, and no problems. I can't think of a fluid exchange that we've done and it's made something worse as far as messing something up, like in the old days that would happen. You could have a perfect transmission and change that filter and all that on there, and boom, it would it would do terrible. So,
yeah,
great question, though. That was a really good question. Okay, and so, Gary, the goal is going to be for someone to be able to just go to ccautoshow.com and be able to watch the video. It will pop right up right in front of them.
Yes, sir.
And then if they want to ask the question, they can either do it by phone. We have a phone number. But they can also just go push chat, question, just like, what was the person's name?
Oh.
In Edgefield.
Yeah, James.
James in Edgefield did, and we would be able to answer that question on air. And that's great for people who don't really have time to be on the phone or talk. They can... We can just answer it that way, and then as they're riding down the road, they can hear the answer to their question.
Absolutely.
Gary, we want to say thank you for all you're doing at Kingdom Web Pros for for the CNC Auto Show site.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We're going to have a lot of fun with it, and yeah, appreciate your patience as we work out the technical issues. The reason we hadn't had it ready today is simply because there's so many options. We're just really testing to see which one works best for the show. So
I can tell you I've enjoyed working with Kingdom Web Pros. We appreciate it. And Jamie, I always enjoy working with you also.
Oh, yeah.